Self-purification. Where to begin? With the model. Who or what is the model? Spirit is a synonymous term for God that represents substance. So if we're going to think about purity, that would be a good place to start. And what are we searching for? The first quote at the beginning of the textbook tells us exactly, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Words of Jesus. Shakespeare gives us a clue how to do it. "Ye shall know the truth," and Shakespeare says, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." When we think we find a kernel of truth, all we have to do is compare it to what truth is. And there's only one that exists, and that's God. So what is the truth about God? Because everything else that is true is a reflection of the one source. God is the only source. Are we seeing, which is soul, what God is seeing? On 587, it says, "God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal." So, first of all, we have to qualify what it is, and it's the great I am. Great, according to the dictionary, there can only be one. It's used loosely as an adjective, but that is false representation of what the word really means. The word great really means like supreme. It's the top. So, we're going to be dealing with the authority, because we're dealing with the great and the only I am. I am this, I am that. That's all God. Not God's reflection. God's reflection is a reflection of the great I am, but not the source. So once you identify what it is, which is God, then what's the first quality that we must be realizing? That God knows everything. God is the great I am, all-knowing, omni, one only and all. Then when we realize that God knows and we're reflecting God, then we can see. We can't see unless we know that there's a real source of reality. Then we can see the reality by reflection. That means we can discern the difference between right and wrong, between the real, one and only, immortal mind and the fake, which is mortal mind. And of course, the opposite of spirit is substance, is matter. And the opposite of seeing, which is soul, with our spiritual senses, where we can tell the difference between what is true and anything that is not true. That can only happen if we understand knowing. What does God see? What does God know? Does he know about this? If he does, then it's real. If he doesn't, it means it's error. It's a mistake. If we know that it's true, then there must be a structure to it, which is principle. And if there's a structure, there has to be a system that operates within the structure. That's part of principle. And if it's a system that is based on spirit and a structure that is of the substance of spirit, then we know the system is only going to produce harmony and balance. There's only going to be a benefit if we reflect the qualities of God and live it. Are we living it? That automatically is the purification process. We cannot live the qualities of God, which means reflecting it in our every thought, speech, and action, without it automatically exposing, eradicating, so that the only thing left in consciousness is truth. The truth about God, the truth about man. And that includes everyone. Purifying one's thought is purifying it as it applies to everything in our experience. Everything and everyone. All the time, under all circumstances. There is not a single circumstance that has the power to do anything, because the only power is from God. Are we recognizing that? Are we living our life that way? Are we refuting that there's any power in anything that is discordant? Chaos cannot have power, because all action is God. The definition of good is God, Spirit. Omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And we already know God, being omniscient, is omni-intelligent, omni-knowing, and omni-wise. And since God is also all action, there cannot be an action that could create any kind of discord whatsoever, no matter who it is, what has been apparently done to human view, because the divine view cannot see reality in anything but what is perfect. So what is not perfect is seen as being untrue, unreal, without a foundation, without a creator, without a source of any kind whatsoever. Is that what we're seeing? Mary Baker Eddy sent the reply to one of her students who was asking for assistance on vision because she didn't seem to be able to heal it herself. And Mary Baker Eddy's reply said, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way?" Are we able to focus no matter what comes our way? If we're not, then we're not able to do what needs to be done. Remember, mind is all faculty. All faculty, Our faculty to do anything and everything depends upon what Shakespeare says. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we putting in the right thinking that God gave us in Genesis chapter 1, verse starting at 26? God said, let man, let us. And then after that it says, then God did it. The first book out of four from Wentworth Winslow says, let God do it. We have to open our thought to let God in there, to let the qualities of God be in there instead of on the outside. They're in there, but we're not conscious of it until we open our thought to the revelation of what it says in Genesis. Then we can see the revelation. There's no creation. Everything that is true has always been true. To us, it may appear as a creation, but it really is only a revelation that awakens one's own consciousness to the truth, to what Jesus said we must do. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free from any enslavement. And of course, the enslavement that really counts is being enslaved to evil, because that's finite from beginning to the end, which means that it's not real, because there is no end to reality. When we think we are at the end of a project, we are fooling ourselves, for there is no end. Infinite progression is concrete being. There may be another title involved, but there's no end to infinite progress. The attraction is while we're in the process of doing, not an attraction when we think we've finished something. The only real fulfillment is seeing progress in action. Is that what we're seeing? Purification then is seeing progress in action, not seeing what we think is the finale of a project. That comes without anything on our part. It's automatic when we are continuously on the path of progress. If we slip off, then we have to get back on track. Otherwise, everything is lost. That's not what we desire. Isaiah tells us precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Isn't that screaming progress to us? Open thought so that we take in a morsel of truth that we did not realize prior. And that is automatically added to the morsel of all the truths that we've ever been aware of. How much thought should one give to someone else's thinking? Someone else's circumstance? Someone else's behavior in our view? Someone else's station in life? To what should we be devoting our effort? There are 8.3 billion people, approximately. How many of those should we be thinking about? It depends on what the nature is of the thoughts. If our purpose is to pray for the benefit of everyone and everything, then we include everyone and everything. If our purpose is for self-purification of our own consciousness, including everyone else and everything, should only be secondary and not the primary focus. The primary focus should be us, purifying our own thought. And that includes not cluttering it up with what everyone else is doing, and if we approve of it. What is success? Have we been successful in our effort? What are we doing? Are we on the path of progress, working toward concrete being? That is the measurement of success. Mary Baker Eddy says, the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. Now, how can we be doing good? By working on the path of progress. We cannot be doing good by celebrating that we got to a certain milestone, because that means we're stagnant for the moment. Celebration is like we didn't expect it to happen, so now we're happy because it happened. Progress is natural, not something to be celebrated. It is a natural evolution of purification of thought, aligning self with truth. That's progress, and that's the only thing we should be doing every moment. Not patting ourselves on the back in any kind of a celebration, because that is convincing us that it was not part of our nature in the beginning. We are blocking out instead of having our door open to the Christ consciousness. We're closing the door and say, okay, we're going to open the door on something else. We can't have any closed doors anywhere, anytime, about any topic, under any circumstance, period. That's the bottom line. There is no end to anything. Only continuous progress of our spiritual development. That is the only thing of value. So life is living the qualities. Truth is what we are to be living. So love is the nurturing to bring everything to fulfillment within our own individual consciousness, which means eradicating, after we expose anything that is unlike God, and filling consciousness with the truth that is the eradicator of the mistake. Recognizing this mistake is only a part of it, and that should be quickly identified, and then the effort should be on the nurturing up to a higher level than what we were before we were faced with the problem, whatever it is. There is no problem that is too big to be overcome. Everything is possible to God. In fact, that's where Frederick L. Rosson begins his treatment when he's treating to go back in time to erase everything from thought that occurred once any kind of a problem was recognized. So we must start with the statement that everything is possible to God, and why wouldn't it be? God is omnipower. God is omnipresent. God is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing, and omni-action. Nothing is left out. God is all faculty, and God is the engine which brings forth all capacity. Nothing is beyond the scope of the infinite. And that's exactly what God is. He is omni-infinite. Nothing can be hiding under a rock, because everything is automatically penetrated with the truth. The truth uncovers anything unlike itself. And truth includes consciousness. So as God's reflection, we are conscious of what needs to be uncovered. And we do it. That's the action. That's the mind that is guiding and directing. That is the mind that is awakening. That is the mind with the creativeness to know where to look, the intuition. Nothing can escape the system of divine metaphysics. The formula is simple. It is purifying one's own consciousness to make sure that every single thought is in alignment with the truth of God's being, which by reflection is our individual being. And this is a good place to include everyone and everything. Because everyone and everything also has the same capacity, because God is infinite. God is omnipresent. God is omni-intelligent, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. God is omni-action. Nothing about God is limited, and there is no single individual that has any more capacity than any other single individual, because everything is within. And all we have to do is awaken what is already is. What already is all we have to recognize. Nothing else. There is nothing else. Frederick L. Rawson, when he healed a man that had been covered up with a load of rocks by mistake, dumped on his head, he healed instantly the situation by stating there is nothing but God. And of course, that statement was accompanied with his complete understanding of what he was saying. Words by themselves mean nothing. It's the conviction which only comes with demonstration after we do the translation, after we understand the facts about God. That's the sequence. Number one, we learn about God. That's called the Word, the first of four operators. The second of all is called the Christ, and that is where we translate whatever appears to be visible and make sure that we're looking at the pure reality and not some individual that has a problem or an event that is not up to par. If we will only make the effort . The result is we will be in alignment with God. And hourly treatments for ourselves is a necessity. Because as Mary Baker Eddy states, we are barraged constantly with things that are not true, but are only, quote, mortal mind suggestions. But if we don't take the bait, we don't get the old fish that is smelly and rotten. We have fresh ideas that come to us. If we're open to letting them in and capitalize on them by reflection. Be alert. Be conscious. Always ready. This treatment will be concluded by reciting the Diapason of Heaven for Love, which is one of seven that Mary Baker Eddy blessed the world with in 1898. And she notes and states directly that we should repeat these words often, which means we should live them. Take them in, make them our own. Record them. Listen to your own recording in your own voice. Include any comments that come to you that it means to you. And if there's a single word that you're not absolutely clear on, then you must, as with all of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, do a word search and a word study so you make sure you know it from beginning to end, backwards and forwards. The timestamp and a couple of words about the Institute will follow the prayer. Declare often, love is my God, and my God is love. Good is my God, and my good is love. Love is my God, and my love is good. Love is my principle, and my principle is love. Love is the law of my being. Divine love is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. This is the Word of God. Amen. It is 250710 at 0657. This extemporaneous prayer treatment is from the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. The website name is mbeinstitute.org. The Institute was founded in 1988, so we are now in the 37th year. And the website was one of the first ones on the internet. To contact us, please open the menu, which is on the top left corner of every page, and down at the bottom is the title of contact, and you may write a message to us. It is a private system and encrypted. We do not respond in text, but we call you if you give us your phone number, which gives an opportunity for bidirectional communication. And if you do not live in the U.S. or Canada, please utilize Telegram. That is a free service which includes voice as well as text. And you're welcome to write text, and our response will be short if it's text. And send us your name that you use for your Telegram account and the phone number, because it requires both of those things in order for us to add you as a contact. This is the end.